WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Lynn Sharon Schwartz has a new novel called Leaving Brooklyn. It's the story of how a 15-year-old girl seeks a more adventurous life than the secure middle-class one provided by her loving parents. Like the narrator of her novel, Schwartz grew up in Brooklyn, and although Schwartz says Leaving Brooklyn is fiction, not autobiography, it's written in the form of a memoir.
I was trying to write another novel, which was going to be a big and rather grandiose novel about contemporary issues, just the sort of thing I've never done and probably am not suited for. And I was having a lot of trouble. I really couldn't get going on this other novel. So I thought, just to get the juices flowing, I'll just write about something I know from my past. I'll write about my eye, because the girl in the book has a lazy eye, a very peculiar eye. And I thought, I'll write about that. I have it, too. And I got started, and of course it was a memoir, and I thought it was leading to nothing. It was just something to take up my time. And soon it just grew and grew, and I was making things up, and it took that form.
The girl in this book, Audrey, is 15 years old and lives in Brooklyn, in a middle-class Jewish neighborhood. And she thinks of Brooklyn not so much as a place, but as a state of mind. Would you describe the state of mind that Brooklyn represents to you in the period of, the early 50s?
It was the early, post-war and early middle 50s. A state of mind, precisely, because Brooklyn is many, many little neighborhoods, and they're not all middle-class, provincial, Jewish, as the one I was writing about. The state of mind is one where people tend to, the main value is safety and hiding. If you live quietly and don't make waves, you'll get through life without too much damage being done to you. And this was a Jewish neighborhood, and people were devastated when they learned by the war and then the aftermath of the war, when the revelations about the concentration camps, there was reason for them being frightened and for wanting to be safe and for wanting to raise their children in a safe environment. They were very decent. But of course, decency has its limitations, and it if you concentrate on decency and safety, you leave out much of what is adventurous in life, and of course, adolescence. And my particular adolescent in the book wants just that, the adventure.
The adventure that the girl in your book gets is through an affair that she has with her eye doctor. And he's 37 years old. She's 15. He touches her leg. She touches him back. And they end up having sex at her eye doctor appointments. And the incredible thing is that, although she really doesn't know what she thinks of this as a relationship, she doesn't think of herself as being damaged by it. It's the adventure she's been looking for. It's the education she's been looking for. And I think it's very interesting that you've turned it into that. You know, what I was expecting when I was reading was the damage.
Well, yes, and I know that readers will expect that, and this may be a controversial issue or even offensive to some. Fiction is very different from real life. Naturally, if this happened in real life, now it would be considered child abuse, and I and most people would be horrified. We'd send this, have this doctor arrested. But fiction is something else. In fiction, the boundaries of experience are wider. I mean, for a young girl of 15, how many ways are there to find things out? There's travel, there's reading, maybe I could name six or eight primary ways of knowing. But sex is certainly one of the important ones, and as adolescents are, that's what they're mostly curious about. She's not emotionally engaged. She's really in it for what she can find out, for the excitement of it.
There's a scene I'd like to have you read from the novel. And this is a scene in the eye doctor's office where the doctor is telling Audrey that he's sorry that he still has to keep charging her parents for these visits, even though they're having sex during these visits. But if he didn't charge the parents, then the parents would be suspicious and they'd have to call off their affair.
Okay.
And he's confessing to her how obsessed he's become with her.
Okay, I'll start. It's in the middle of a speech of his. I count the days till you come. Can you understand how humiliating it is for a grown man to feel this way about a practically a child. Do you know there are moments when I want to steal you away, run somewhere with you? There's something in you I have to have. My God, it's like some awful thing you read in the papers. On he went, and I sat opposite him, naked, compelled to hear. I wanted to cover my ears, but that was infantile and wouldn't help anyway. The words would keep breaking on me in waves, only muffled. It was like being possessed, he said. He knew the situation was impossible, but he was a prisoner. I drove him wild. He was drowning in it. He even named unmentionable parts of my body and what they made him feel, which made me want to die of shame, for it was one thing to do it and another to say it. All of it in disjointed phrases that I recognized from reading great books as the worst kind of banalities. Had he known me in the slightest, he would have prepared something elegant and literary.
I love that ending about how he should have prepared something elegant and literary. Well, this is a question I know you've been waiting to see how long it will take till I ask it. So here it comes. Did this happen to you when you were a teenager?
Well, that's something that I think I'm not going to be specific about because, well, not so much for privacy, although certainly partly for that, but why should I destroy the aura of the book? I mean, the book plays with the reader's imagination, in a sense, and the writer has a certain control over that. So I won't tell you.
Okay, fair enough. You know, part of the reason why I think I want to know is that you want to know if it's possible for a 15-year-old to go through an experience like this in reality and come out in reality the way you have her.
You mean come out as an adult?
Yeah, and to come out unscathed, to come out feeling like, well, yeah, I got the education I wanted.
I wouldn't say she's exactly unscathed. To me, what it is scathing is she understands or comes to understand her own cruelty, that she has been in a relationship with a man who he has not hurt her physically, he has not raped her, he has not treated her terribly except taking, you know, doing this. And he ends by caring about her, by seeing her as a person and wanting to know her and wanting the caring to come back to him. She treats him like an object the whole way through. And that's what she has to look at. That's what interests me, not whether she'll have the psychological scars. I don't know whether a girl in this situation would have, what kind of scars she would have.
I have a question about your parents, and I ask this not knowing whether they're living or not.
They're not living.
Okay. This just struck me as the kind of book that could really upset parents for two reasons. One is that there's this confession of feeling claustrophobic where you were brought up really wanting to get out. And the other is the relationship between the main character and the eye doctor, the sexual relationship that they're having. And all the doubt that readers are going to have about whether you had that or not, and whether you did or not is none of our business, but the question is raised. And it's just the kind of book that I think, I don't know if you would have felt comfortable writing it if your parents were alive.
Well, you're right. I had my parents were wonderful, and I miss them, and I certainly would not have wanted to hurt them with this, but I didn't have to face it because they're dead. However, I think if they were alive and my mother had said, did this really happen, I would have said, nah, Mom, don't worry about it. It never happened. I made it up. I think what would have been more difficult is the way the parents have presented. When I wrote it, I thought the parents were presented very harshly. That's certainly not how I feel now. It is how Audrey felt and how I felt as a kid, as an adolescent. Audrey is very critical of the parents. What I do hope is very clear is that the judgment of the 15-year-old is certainly not my judgment. The book is not about the limitations of her parents. It's a little bit about the limitations of Brooklyn and about those parents. But really, it's about the self-delusions of an adolescent and how she's so greedy and so lustful and so stifled in what is indeed a dull environment that she can't see the people around her are human, too, and that you don't have to have an exciting life or be an adventurous person to be a human being.
Well, I thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.